Okay, hallelujah. Week 4 of TH303, Revival According to Scripture. Now, we've been talking about the decisions that an individual has to make, and that these decisions really are not going to be easy. It's a crossroads kind of a thing. You either want it or you don't. You either do it or you don't. We've been talking about the whole concept of the church that you go to, because this is extremely vital. And that it's definite. There are some Christians, if they want to go into revival, they're going to have to leave the church where they're attending now. Now, I don't know how that applies to the people here. I don't know how that applies to the people listening by tape. It's just, if the church is not pressing into revival, and we want to, then we're going to have to really pray and make a tough decision. Along with decisions we have to make, we have to structure our life so that more intercession can take place. And there is a proper balance between family, household responsibilities, work, church, and time with God. Some people say, well, I'm too busy and I can't. Okay, yeah, everybody's too busy and nobody can. However, there's a balance that can be attained to in your life based upon your circumstances. Your balance is going to be different than everybody else's. It won't be the same. It'll be relative to you. But you have to go to God and ask Him, if you really want this, He'll help you. He'll help you to restructure your life so that things can be done that are supposed to be done. And you have to be willing to allow God, if He wants to shave some things off of your life. It might be some things that you really like, but He says, no, this needs to be removed. And I'm not talking bad things or sin, just, whatever. Or there may not be anything in your life that He wants to remove. He just wants to get everything in the right order. But if you really want revival, and you really want to head in that direction, and you go to Him and say, help me get my life in order so that it is conducive for me to be able to give whatever I need to give to You for intercession, so that I can head in this direction. You must be committed to church attendance. This strengthens the local body. Now, see, this is the thing. A lot of folks say, I want revival, I want to see God move, and they're Sunday morning only people. Well, now I know that in some circumstances, Sunday morning only can be all that can be done. I do understand there can be situations. I really do. However, it's been my personal experience that there are far too many people who have these unique circumstances. In other words, they've come to the place to where they allow things to become circumstances. And they use that as an excuse to not go back to church. It's amazing how many people have family members who are at death's door year after year after year, and they can't go to church because they have to be there with Mama or Sissy or whoever. I can appreciate concern for family. Believe me, I can. My dad spent nearly 4 years in a nursing home, so I can appreciate concern for family. But, are you giving the kind of attention that God wants you to give? In other words, did He tell you clearly, don't go to church, instead, go be with Mama? I'm not saying go be with Mama. These are the kind of things that when they're taught, a lot of folks can get upset. They twist your words. And they go home and tell everybody, well, that old Brother Martin, he just says, you're not even supposed to pray for your sick family. I didn't say that. Thank God everything's recorded. Praise the Lord. What I'm saying is, again, it goes back to this thing of balance. But if you really want to see revival take place, church attendance has to be there. I would say this if I weren't even a pastor. Church attendance has to be... This is not an option. You have to understand. If you want revival, you've got to be there. Well, I don't understand, Brother Martin. Okay, then let's think about it. When revival breaks out, it's going to happen somewhere in a church. Don't you think people need to be there for it? Okay. If you want revival to happen, and if you're in the church that God's told you to be in, you will be in attendance You know, when I was growing up, every time the door is open, and I do know that for some people, that just doesn't, it's not going to work out because of jobs or whatever. However, you're going to be there as much as you can possibly be there, and you're not going to just use a bunch of excuses not to be there. You will attend. Now, if you're in a church that's not pressing into revival, that's between you and God how much you attend. Personally, I don't know how much I'd attend a church that's preaching against the gifts. That, you know, you handle that the way you want to handle that. I'm just telling you from my perspective. With my calling, I'd go out and start one. But you understand what I'm talking about. Church attendance has to be there. Here's another perspective. If you keep saying, oh, I want revival. Well, are you active? I mean, do you attend your local church? I get there as much as I can. You've already told me volumes. You're not serious. Because, see, remember when revival breaks out, you're going to start having more and more services, and God's going to want you there. You're going to need to be there. And that ties right in with this next point. You must get involved somehow in your church. You must get involved. People that say, I want revival. Is your church pressing toward revival? Yeah, Brother Martin, it really is. You know, we've gone through this course, and I can say that my church is pressing toward revival. Okay, praise God. What are you doing there? Well, I attend. Okay, and what are you doing? I attend. But what are you doing? I'm sitting when I attend. In other words, you're not doing anything but showing up, and praise God you're doing that. I mean, thank God you're doing that. But that's all you're doing? Well, that needs to change. You need to get involved somehow. Even if all you do is show up before the service to make sure that there is toilet paper on the rolls in the restrooms. Even if you just go through and check trash cans, make sure trash is emptied, or even if you just... Anything. Yeah, but Brother Martin, they've got staff people that are paid to do those things. Well, make their job easier. Do you see what I'm saying? Get involved. Start doing something. Doesn't matter what it is. Greet at the front door. When there's snow on the ground, show up early. Help shovel some snow. I don't know. Just something. Get involved somehow in your church. Because, again, this is something that helps to strengthen the local body. And the stronger the local body is as it's pressing toward revival, the more prepared the local body is going to be for revival. You're going to have a powerful foundation, not just spiritually, but practically as well. People will have already demonstrated the commitment to serve God where He has placed them. If you wait till revival breaks out, I mean, it's not that you can't get involved, but if you wait till revival breaks out, I mean, everybody wants to get on board then. You know what I'm saying? Because, why, then it's a thing to do. It's a popular thing. Where do you go to church? Well, down there, it's having revival. Why, bless God, we've been having services every night for the past 2 years. What's your church been doing? Everybody wants to be where it's a happening thing. Lay the foundation now. Get involved. Somehow, some way. If you don't know what to do, go ask your pastor. And say, Pastor, you know, I want to do something. Is it okay if I do this? And if there's nothing else, then you can at least show up and pray. You can at least be there and do that. But is that really helping? Yes. Yes, it is helping. It's helping tremendously. How much time can you spend at your church to intercede? Can you go during the week? Morning, noon, evening, whatever. Can you go there and do any kind of intercession during the week? What about Saturdays? Morning, noon, evening. Can you go there? What about Sunday morning before the service? What about in the afternoon between services? Is it possible you could go? What about in the evening after the service? Now, guys, again, remember, in all of this, do not come under condemnation. Don't think that I'm saying if you don't show up at your church, you know, between services on Sunday afternoon and intercede, and you're missing God. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, what can you do? How much can you do? How much time of intercession can you? See, everybody can pray at home. Now, I know that. But if you've ever spent time at your church interceding, I'm telling you guys, there is something special about just being there, about the atmosphere. Even if you'd have to find a classroom, a Sunday school classroom or whatever, and and sit in that and intercede, whatever. There is something special about, you know, just getting away from everything and just being there. And just, you know, I know a lot of people say that, well, I've heard it taught kind of from this perspective that it's the people that bring in the presence of the Lord, and when the people aren't there, the presence of the Lord isn't there. Well, I understand, I think, what they're saying, but I'm firmly convinced that you can create an atmosphere in a building that is a holy atmosphere. I really believe that. And, you know, I don't know that I even have a tremendous amount of Scripture that I base that on. I base it on my experience. I've been in some churches. It didn't just, I mean, it felt kind of cold. And I've been in other churches. Not even a service going on, just to be in there. You know, I believe that there is something to taking a building and dedicating that building to God. I really believe that. That when you take a building and say, God, it's not ours, this is yours. This is a place where we want your presence. We want it to be heavy in here. So that if somebody driving by decides they just want to stop and come in, the moment they walk in, they're going to sense your presence, your love, your peace. God, may the bricks themselves be saturated with your glory. You know, I personally believe there is something to dedicating a building to God. And boy, when you have a building that houses people that are headed in the direction of revival, I believe an atmosphere can be created in that building. It's interesting, but I've had people share with me, visitors, that the moment they walked into our building, they could sense the love of God. Now, because I've been there, it's not quite the same for me. But for some of these visitors who've said that, there's something happening there. When they just walk in the building and they say, I could sense the love of... Before they even meet anybody, I could sense the love of God in this place. Praise God! Praise God! I've had visitors that have walked into the church and after the service tell me, the moment that I walked in here, I sensed more peace in this place than any church I've been to in my life. Well, I honestly can't explain all of it. But I praise God for what's happened in our building. When it comes to your intercession, yes, intercede at home, definitely. Oh, absolutely. But how much time can you break away and get over to the church? Now, I know for some people that can be a challenge because you might live a really long way from your church. And quite frankly, in that kind of a situation, it might just be impossible for you to make that kind, like an hour-long drive to get there, whatever it would be. I understand, and so does God. But if it's feasible, if it's something that can be done, how much time can you give to doing this, to being there in that building and interceding? I personally don't have a problem being in our building alone. But I know that a lot of women might be concerned about being alone. Well, you know, take a friend, something like that, if that's possible. What I'm getting at is, and we've talked about this in the past, being at the church and interceding there is not exactly the same as being at home. There's even, maybe it's psychological, okay? But there's just something special about being there away from distractions and, you know, all that kind of stuff that can go on. And because you're at a place that in your mind you have connected to the presence of God, there's just something unique about it. It's important to do that. Here's one of the reasons why, among all the rest that we've talked about. The more word gets out, the more this happens, the more people that start doing this, eventually others will start doing it too. Now, I'm not saying overnight it's going to happen, but eventually it'll start to happen more and more. Other people will start coming in. May even start seeing people from other churches come in because they know they can. Because they know there's something there and they can go in and experience it. But for the home folk, this is very important. And we talk about interceding for revival. Since we've talked about it, mentioned it, you know, can you go to your church and do it? Look over in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, short verse, verse 14. Sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. That is what Jesus said. What word is he talking about? Well, obviously he's got to be talking about the Word of God. And then over in Isaiah 55. Look there. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and that shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. All right, now let's think for a moment. Jesus said the sower sows the word. Well, here it says that God's the one that's going to speak the word. Well, obviously, you know, sowing the word, you have to speak it. You don't just dig a hole and throw your Bible in it. You know that better than that. Jesus said the sower sows the word, but here in Isaiah it says God's the one that's, you know, sending His word forth. It almost sounds like a contradiction. Well, it's not. God's given His word to who? To us. We take the word that God has given and we begin to sow it. We begin to speak it forth. Do you understand? We're the mouth of God here in the earth. We are His voice. Just like Jesus was the voice of the Father, we now have picked up that standard and we have become the voice of the Father, the voice of the Son, the voice of the Holy Spirit, you know, if you will. We speak the Word of God. Now, we can intercede for revival through sowing God's Word. And this is very important because God has said that His Word will prosper and it will not return void. Now, you and I, let's be honest, we might speak a whole lot of things and pray a whole lot of things. Now, it might be good, then again, it might not. You know what I'm saying? If we could maybe say some things out of the flesh that just don't line up with the will and the Word of God. But I'm telling you, you begin to speak the Word of God. You begin to confess God's Word. And you have guaranteed results here. It's going to happen. God's Word will not return void. So as we sow the Word of God, we can expect to see the results. When we are sowing the Word for revival, we can expect to begin seeing results. Because as we begin sowing God's Word, you know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Well, when we're sowing the Word of God as it relates to revival, we're going to begin hearing that Word that's being sown. Faith comes by hearing. And on the inside of us, we begin developing a faith capacity for revival. Because we're declaring the will of God concerning this. Now, here in your outline, we have some examples. And we're going to go through here and do this tonight. Now, what we're getting ready to read is not comprised of the only verses that could be used to confess over revival. This is an example. But see, you can stand and you can take what we're getting ready to do and you can confess God's Word, just what we're doing here. Or come up with your own variations of these confessions and keep speaking and keep speaking and keep speaking and keep speaking. And keep releasing God's Word and releasing God's will. See, you have to understand, the more that you confess the Word of God, the more you're injuring the enemy. Because he's not able to stand up against the power of the Word of God. I mean, he comes to Jesus and three times Jesus says, get out of here. And finally, the Bible says Satan left until a more opportune season, a better moment. And we know that Satan attacked in other forms later on, but the thing about it is, the more that we speak the Word of God, the more that the Word of God goes forth to produce the will of God. Not just in our lives, but in our church and as far as our community with regard to revival. Now, here in these confessions, look down about one paragraph where the first line says, for the earth shall be filled. You see that? And the next line it says, pray ye therefore. See that? Then the next line it says, I call. And then in parentheses it says, your church. That's where you put your church name. Okay? And then it says, and thee. And then in parentheses, region where you live. Well, all of us, we live in what's called the Miami Valley. So that's what you'd put in there. But those of you listening by tape, you know, your region only may only be known by its city. You know, for example, Chicago is not just Chicago. It's all kinds of little cities around Chicago, but it's all referred to as Chicago. So you can insert whatever is pertinent or relative to where you live. But now let's go back up here at the top. And I want you to go through this with me. And we won't read the actual scripture reference. Well, Now, we won't read the actual scripture references because those are here in the outline. We'll just read the actual verses and the confessions. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge... You're supposed to be reading out loud with me here on this one. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. I call Grace Christian Center and the Miami Valley in revival and filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Father, send laborers into the harvest field of the lives of the people. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. And these shall follow them that believe. In Thy name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. People are coming in from the north, south, east, and west. They are being redeemed from the hand of the enemy and are sitting down in the kingdom of God. Lost, come in and be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. Backsliders, come in and be restored in fellowship with Jesus and be filled with the Holy Spirit. All who are sick, afflicted, maimed, come in and receive your healing, restoration, and be made whole. All who are oppressed or possessed by demonic powers, come in and be delivered. Every week, more and more people are coming in. No matter where they are, or where they live, or what church they currently attend, the ones who the Father wants here are coming in, and nothing hinders them. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children, and they shall be my people. I will be their God. And one way that they may fear me forever, for the good of them, and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping. They shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come and join us in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. The children of my family and this church shall not be the prey of or taken captive by the enemy or give in to any of his temptations to sin. I call them born again, filled with the Holy Spirit and on fire for God. They are His children, and they call Him their God. Their heart is tender toward Him, and they serve, fear, and respect Him forever, and train their children to do the same. They hunger and thirst after righteousness, and the cry of their heart is, come with us and go deeper into God. And we are His children. Praise God. Praise God. Now here's what we were doing there. We were interceding for revival, and we were also interceding for the next generation for the revival to continue. That's what we were doing. Now some people will look at this, and they would say, ah, Brother Martin, that's foolish. And this is exactly one of the reasons why revival is not happening. It's because revival begins with God's Word, and it is sustained by God's Word. When we intercede like this, it produces change in us, and it's going to bring about what we are speaking. These passages that we just spoke, Everything that we read is God's Word. And everything that we confessed, this is God's Word. It's happening. Now, if Satan can get us to believe that confessing God's Word won't work, we won't confess. Very simple. If we don't speak the will and the Word of God, then we're not going to see the will and the Word of God results. This kind of intercession is extremely critical. It has to happen. This is one of the ways, and one of the priority ways, if you will, that revival is birthed in a church. When you can get a church turned on to this, and you can get the people in the church to begin to make confessions like this, you're going to begin to see changes. The changes will start first in the lives of the people, and then those changes are going to be represented in the structure of the congregation. And you're going to begin to see things happen in the church that maybe have never happened before. God's Word will not fail. When we apply it, it will produce the results. Look over in Galatians chapter 9. Or 6, I'm sorry. Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Sower sows the Word. We sow the Word. If we do not faint, if we continue to do this, then we are going to reap the results of what the Word has been doing. Look over in Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. See, God's promised in His Word that we can have these things. We already know it's what He wants. And so He said, look, here's my will. Now take my will and apply it. Take my will and begin to speak it. Take my will and make it a part of your life. Because when you begin to speak it as my voice in the world, then you're going to begin to see these results, because I will stand behind my word that you declare over your church and over your community. Now, here is, it's not really a downside, but it's something that you need to consider. If you go to a church that really just does not understand or believe in the concept of confessing God's Word, and you try to share this in the church, you're going to get some flack. And you're going to be called goofy. And they're going to say, oh, you just another one of those crazy, paganite, charismatic kind of, you know, name it and claim it and all this other kind of stuff. Well, that's a sad thing. Because if that's the condition of the church, then you need to ask yourself, if that's what they believe about speaking the Word of God, then what's the source of their revelation? What's the source of what they believe and what they teach? And what is it they're really speaking? Because you see, when I take God's Word, see, I'm born again and I have His life and nature in me. When I begin to release His Word out of a spirit that has His life and nature, then I can expect to see His results. I can expect to see it happen. I can begin to look forward to the day of manifestation. It's going to happen. For revival, it's all up to us. Do we want it? How bad do we want it? And are we willing to pay the price for what it's going to take to see it? Sometimes it's hard to realize that, you know, like the Bible talks about, our life is but a vapor. Boy, I tell you what, it seems a whole lot longer than a vapor, doesn't it? But when you start trying to grasp the concept of eternity, you realize this life is like that. It's just the beginning point. It's just where we came into existence. We're headed toward forever. a whole, glorious, wonderful, perfect forever. And while we're down here, is it really that big of a price to pay to get my life to where God can use me to the fullest to produce the results that He wants? What a challenge. What a challenge. But again, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's have revival. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, here's what we're going to do. Those of you listening to this by tape, this is the end of the tape, the end of TH 302-303. There will not be another tape in this series. And you can go ahead and take your test now. Amen.